teach God's Word, and that is so important because so many churches do not. And I don't mean this to be a negative thing or a slam against anybody, but there are some churches that focus in on emotionalism or, you know, the performance of the pastor and how good of a pulpiteer he is. And I've heard some crazy things come across the pulpit in some churches. I was in a church many, many years ago, and I heard a guy preach a message about the three Hebrew boys. And he entitled it, Shadrach, Meshach, and a Billy Goat. And I said, excuse me, it's not a Billy Goat, it's a Bendigo. That was his Babylonian name. He said, yeah, but I like Billy Goat. I'm like, well, you know, Billy Goat, there's not a Billy Goat in the account. It has nothing to do with it. But it sounded good. And people got all emotional when he preached it. And I'm thinking, good Lord, we got to do better than this. Amen? Well, in the same manner, there is a gross lack of understanding, if you will, in the body of Christ about the person of the Holy Spirit and what He has come to do. There are some people who think that the Holy Spirit is that thing that makes you shout and dance, or the Holy Spirit is that thing that makes you happy. Well, I have news for you. Number one, the Holy Spirit's not a thing. He's a person. And number two, He always comes for a reason. Now, we may react a certain way when His presence is expressed, but that's not why He came, to make you feel good. I've often said this, if the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our midst is reduced to a shout and a dance, we're in big trouble. Big trouble. Notice Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 18. Luke chapter 4, Jesus went into the synagogue and opened the book or the scroll and found the place where this passage was written, which happens to be the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Now, let me say this. The children of Israel and the Jews, even to this day, had and have a great respect for the Word of God. In fact, when the scrolls were read in ancient times, and that tradition continues today, when the scrolls are opened and the Scripture is read, nobody's hand touches that scroll. It is read with an instrument. It is folded over and protected. They have a great regard for God's Word, because it's considered holy, it is His power, and they have a great reverence for the Word. And so now you get a little picture of the setting. Jesus goes into the synagogue, and that was His habit. He was there almost daily. And He opens the scroll and finds the place where Isaiah said this in Isaiah 61. And this is what Jesus said, verse 18, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so Jesus was announcing that the Holy Spirit had anointed Him for a purpose. To preach the gospel to the poor, to bring deliverance to the captives, to open the blind eyes, and to set free or set at liberty them that are bruised. And so the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus for a specific function. Now, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, you're in Luke, go over to John chapter 16. Go to the right. John chapter 16. We're talking about the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord. There are many ways you could express it, but I want you to see some things about the Holy Spirit and what He has come to do. John chapter 16. So early on in his ministry, Jesus proclaims that the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach, to teach, to heal, and this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Then towards the end of his ministry, in John chapter 16, Jesus says some things about the Holy Spirit that we need to know. John 16, beginning with verse 5. Notice what he said. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or more profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If you have a pen or pencil, underline that word Comforter. That word tells us a lot about who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send Him to you. And when He is come, underline the word He in the next verse. When He is come, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an experience. He's not an it. We'll expound upon this in a little bit. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, underline that word He again, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now here Jesus is expounding upon the purpose of the Holy Spirit and why He was going to send Him. Now, let's focus on that first word, Comforter. The Comforter. If I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, that word Comforter is the Greek word parakletos. And it is a word that means many different things. But it means to be a helper. Amen. A counselor. An advocate. An advocate is someone who will sort of go to bat for you. You know, if you go into a court of law, in many instances, you need to have an advocate. That's an attorney. Because they know the law, they know how the law works, and He'll be there to speak on your behalf. Well, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come as our advocate, one to stand by and speak on our behalf. And so He is our helper. He is our comforter. He is a counselor. He is an advocate. He is a strengthener. That's part of what that word parakletos means. He's a strengthener. And He is an intercessor. That's one who prays for somebody else. And He is a standby. Now, all of those words give us a picture of the Holy Spirit and His mission. And for Jesus to say, I'm going away, but it's going to be better for you that I leave. Now, the men that He was talking to didn't understand that. Their hearts were filled with sorrow. What do you mean you're leaving? This is the man who healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, preached the kingdom of God. And Jesus said He's leaving. And He says, but it's better for you that I leave, because if I don't go, the Comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. And so we know that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the earth, but we need to understand why He came. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit's here. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? That's what I'll teach you during this series. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go back to John chapter 16. And we'll explore a little bit about one of the purposes for the Holy Spirit's ministry in the earth. Notice verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, that reveals a lot. But when he said he will guide you into all truth, that word guide is the Greek word hodageo, and it literally means to take someone by the hand and show them the way. And it paints a picture of a guide who's experienced, who knows the territory, who can show you all of the highlights of the things you need to know, and it'll also help you to avoid the pitfalls and the places where you shouldn't go. Any of you ever traveled outside the country? Ever gone on a tour? You know, I've been on a lot of tours, and a lot of times the guides will show you things that you didn't know were there. And if it weren't for the guide, you never would experience these things at all. When Valerie and I were in Jamaica, somebody told us, you got to see this guy. You know, he does something special for you. Well, he's a sailboat captain. We got on this little sailboat, and the girl said, you ain't getting me in no water. We're out there in 30, 40, 50, 60 feet of water sailing down the coast. And this guy took us to the foot of Duns River Falls, where the river actually meets the ocean. Beautiful place. And unless you have a boat, you're not going to get there. But he knew how to get there. And so we went down there, took all these pictures. It was wonderful. He told us about the place and the movies that have been filmed there. But had we not seen that guy or somebody else who knew the way, we never would have experienced that. The same thing is true in life. The Holy Spirit is here to take you by the hand, to lead you, to guide you, to show you some things that otherwise you would never experience and never take advantage of. Amen. But we have got to get out of this thinking that our Christian experience and our Christian life is just going to church on Sunday and trying not to cut somebody out on Monday. There's more to it than that. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you, guide you. He wants to be your intercessor. He wants to be your strengthener. He wants to be your standby. He wants to be your advocate. I remember a time when I was going through the darkest time in my life. I was scratching my head wondering, how in the world are you still standing? Well, it was in part because of people who prayed, like you. It was in part because of people who were good friends. And we all need good friends. We need to enhance our relationships with others. Amen. But most importantly, it was because of the strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, friends, as much as they love you, they go home. They don't stay forever. That's why it's important when someone loses a loved one. Listen to me. It's always important that you maintain a connection with that person and edify them, strengthen them, encourage them, and don't just do it for a week or so. Because everybody comes in at the beginning. And everybody's there after the funeral for a day or two. But you know when the toughest time is? About 2 months down the road. When everybody's gone home, and you settle back into your routine, and all of this stuff starts weighing in on your mind. That's when you need a friend. You with me? Well, in spite of all that, see, the Holy Spirit never leaves. He never leaves. And He will strengthen you in some of the most crazy, difficult times and enable you to stand. Amen. But we have to know how He works and we have to cooperate with Him. Amen? Now, notice Romans chapter 8. Let's turn there. We just talked about how Jesus said the Spirit of God, He will guide you into all truth. Let's go a little further with this. Go to Romans chapter 8. He will guide you. Hodageo means to lead, to guide, to show the way. Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 14. And I'm going to take this verse out of its context, but we'll go back and touch upon this. Romans 8:14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, what does that mean? That simply means that the Holy Spirit has a major role in the life of a Christian, and that is to lead them. Amen. And they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, you can interpret that a couple different ways, and many people interpret it to mean that mature Christians, Christians who are no longer babies, but they're sons, they're the ones who were led by the Spirit of God. And that is true. But from the Holy Spirit's perspective, it is His purpose to lead every child of God. Now, here's the thing. In order to follow, in order to be led, let me put it like this. Here's a better way to express it. In order to be led, you must be willing to follow. Because nobody can lead you where you don't want to go. And that is the problem many times with our Christian experience, because we don't know the person of the Holy Spirit. We've never been taught about the person of the Holy Spirit. He's there with His hand out, ready to lead us, but it's strange. And so we resort back to the flesh, we resort back to our mind, and even though He's there to lead us out, many times He'll lead you out of a dangerous situation. Amen. Did you know that? Many times He's there to get you out of a jam. And many times we don't listen, we ignore His help, and we end up all jammed up. All jammed up. And sometimes you can have right motives and still get in trouble. Sometimes you can have right motives and still get in trouble. And there have been times the Holy Spirit has told me, don't do that, or don't go there. And I have learned over the years to listen. Because many times He's got my best interest at heart. I remember an instance one time when a friend of mine, his name was Fernando, and I were driving home from someplace, and he was a classmate of mine at Bible college, and we were going down the street, and we saw a woman being pestered by a guy walking down the street. And you could tell she was desperate. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with you. Leave me alone. And he's pushing up on this gal. Well, the manly thing to do, right, is to stop and offer assistance. And so we did. I pulled over in my Volkswagen. And we said, hey, what's going on? And this fella walked over to my car and kicked my door, picked up his leg, and boom! Put a big dent in my door. You know, Volkswagens are small cars. I had a Volkswagen Rabbit. And when he hit my car, whoop, my whole car rocked. Now, from an outward perspective, it's me and Fernando against him. Now, in the old days, it was on. It was on. We'd have got out of the car and whipped his behind. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? And so the woman tried to get away. She goes forward, and he goes forward after her. Well, naturally, I step on the gas, and I pull up, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. Don't do it. Go down the road, call a cop. Now, I wanted to get out the car. I mean, this guy just put a dent in my door. Fernando wanted to get out the car, teach this guy a lesson. Holy Spirit said, don't do it. Go down a block, call a cop. Well, this is before the age of cell phones, and so that's what we did. Called 911, got the police involved. Well, what we didn't know was this fella had a pistol in his pocket. Now, we could have got out of the car and done the manly thing and got shot. You with me? And some poor idiot someplace in some church would say, well, you know, the Lord let it happen. Must have been the will of God. No, it wasn't the will of God. We're too dumb to listen to the Holy Ghost. He's trying to lead us. And He's done that many times in my life. He does the same thing with you. He does. And see, we've got to get out of this mindset, this error that has infected the Christian church, that God doesn't speak to people anymore. There are people who believe that. You know, once the King James New Testament was printed, God stopped talking. And if you tell them, the Lord told me, they think you're nuts. But Jesus said, He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Amen. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on His accord, but whatever God whispers to His ear, He'll whisper in yours. Or whatever Jesus whispers in His ear, He'll whisper into yours. Because they know all things, and He will share it with you. But are we willing to listen? Are we willing to be led? In order to be led, you must be willing to follow. But if you don't understand the Holy Spirit, why He's come, or how He leads, you can miss it. Amen? You can miss it. So that's what we're going to explore. I'm not going to be able to do this in a week or 2 weeks, but you know me. I like to take a long time. So we're going to get into this in detail. Amen? Okay, turn with me now in your Bibles to John chapter 16 again. We're in Romans 8. And we're going to spend some time in Romans 8 in these lessons. But let's go back to John 16. And let's look at some other things concerning the Holy Spirit. John 16. Go back to verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. It is His job to reveal the truth to you. Now, how does He do that? Well, He does that by enabling you to get into a place where God's Word is taught. He's the one who gives you that little gentle nudge in the morning. You know, you ought to read some scripture this morning. You know? He's the one who gives you that little nudge in the morning. You know, you got that devotional on your shelf. When's the last time you opened it? He's the one who gives you that nudge that, you know, you ought to spend some time alone. You don't have to go do that stuff today. You know, we all do stuff. But how much time do we spend with Him? Amen? Now, when you make a decision to spend time focusing on God's Word, studying the Scriptures, He'll speak to you through the Word. He will. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, if that is the case, then it is also true that He will lead you and guide you away from stuff that's wrong. He will lead you and guide you away from stuff that's wrong. I've been surprised many times how people have been so gullible that they've been willing to swallow stuff that is not the truth. And they just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Now, I can understand an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't know God, doing that. Because all of us have a big hole in our soul that cries out that only God can fill. And so we're constantly searching and looking. But when you find the truth that redemption comes through faith in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit makes His home in you, and then He begins to lead you and guide you into the truth. And that also means He will lead you and guide you away from what's wrong. Have you ever had somebody share something, teach something, present something, and you just something just ain't right about this? You ever have that feeling? Yeah. You know, it's like taking a bath with your socks on. It just doesn't feel right. Something ain't right about this stuff. Well, many times that's the Holy Spirit trying to get you to not swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Okay? And I've been there many times. I've heard people teach things that weren't biblical, weren't true. But because people didn't search the Scripture for themselves, they were an open prey. They were open prey. They got all messed up. And it was really, really sad. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth, which also means He will lead you and guide you away from what's wrong. But we have to understand how He leads. Amen? We've got to be willing to follow Him. Now, I remember many, many years ago, I had a fella approach me, and he started sharing some things with me, and I knew something wasn't right. The whole tone of the conversation wasn't right. And this is in a Christian church. And this brother started to share things with me, and he said, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. I'm like, okay, the Bible does say that. And then he said, you know, many are called, he said, but you're chosen. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, he's buttering me up. Okay? You know, he's laying all the accolades on me. And, you know, how, boy, I've never seen anybody anointed like you. And I know better than that. Okay? he's laying on the butter thick. And I thought, something just isn't right. On the inside, something ain't right. You better watch this. Something's not right. You better back up. And so I understood. I acknowledged what he said. I'm like, okay. But then he started teaching some things that were really, really bad. I mean bad like not even in the Bible. I mean bad like if you believed it, it'll get you all jacked up. And this guy started teaching this stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've never found this in the Bible. Now, I was kind of a neophyte. I'd been saved for some time, but I didn't know my Bible like I do now, and I don't know everything. And so it was really bad, and on the inside of me, it was just, oh, this is awful. I felt awful. He's teaching this stuff. I'm sitting there crying. People thought I was being moved by the Spirit. No, I was crying because them dummies was going to believe it. And this stuff will mess you up. And so I had occasion to talk to this man. I said, sir, I said, I feel I have a responsibility to teach the truth. I have a responsibility to live the truth, more importantly. I said, but I haven't found any place in the Bible that taught what you just taught. I said, could you please show me where that's at? He said, yeah, one of these days we'll sit down. And I said, I'd kind of like to know now, you know. Back then, as a young man, I didn't have the tact or decorum that I think I have now. You know, I didn't rock the boat. I'd sink it. I mean, I just blow the thing up. I didn't know any better. And I said, well, I'd kind of like to know now. And so finally he admitted to me, he said, well, this isn't in the Bible. I said, oh, really? That was a big relief. I'm like, thank you so much. Because now that I know that it's not in the Bible, I don't have to believe a word of it. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to believe it. You know, sad thing is, there were a lot of people out there, hook, line, and sinker, they took the whole thing. And it messed them up. And so once he admitted that to me, I appreciated his honesty, but now I knew I didn't have to believe that stuff. And so I wanted to be sure, so I found another pastor that I trusted. I said, could you help me with this? Is this in the Bible? He said, no, it's not in the Bible. And so when I asked the man originally, I said, well, where'd you get this from? Why are you teaching that? He said, I've seen it happen. He's preaching experience, not biblical truth. And I don't care what happened to so-and-so, doesn't mean God did it, doesn't mean it's scriptural. Amen? And so when the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth, He will also lead you and guide you away from what's wrong. Amen. We have to be willing to follow Him. Amen? Amen? We have to be willing to follow Him. Now, let's look at one last passage, and I think we'll get a little understanding here. We looked at, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yeah, good. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to talk about the work that the Holy Spirit does. And then I'm going to share a lot from personal experience. Because we need to know this. Listen, if we don't teach you God's Word and the things of the Spirit, how else will you learn them? And there's a whole generation of people that will grow up without knowing the ways of the Holy Spirit because we never taught it. Now, that's one thing about my late father-in-law, Reverend Carr, Elder Carr as we called him, that I appreciated so much because he didn't have a very high education, but he's a very wise man. And every time I asked him questions, he would always take me to God's Word and show me the answers. That's what I appreciate about him so much. He was honest and he knew the book. Amen? Amen. He knew the book. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 8. Romans 8, 8. And we're going to read a little bit. Y'all with me? All right, watch this. Romans 8, 8. Paul, writing to this Gentile church, said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God, underline these words, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ, underline this phrase, be in you, The body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, underline these three words, dwell in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that, underline this phrase, dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Notice verse 14 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we have just seen four different times that the Holy Spirit lives where? In us. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, by His Spirit that dwells in you. So four times He tells us that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Then verse 14 that says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then it would stand to reason if the Spirit of God lives in us, then He will lead us from the inside out. Yes. Not from the outside in. You follow me?
Yes.
If He lives in us, and He endeavors to lead us and guide us, then He'll lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. So that means you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, need to quit this silly stuff that sounds like this. Well, if the phone rings three times today, I'll know it's the will of God for me to go to church. Well, if the sun comes up... It always comes up in the east. But if the sun comes up in the east, or if this happens, then I'll know it's the will of God for me to get this job. Or if that happens, then I'll know it's the will of God for me to... No. You're looking out here for leadership and guidance, and you'll never find it. What you do is you open up yourself for Satan to get involved in your stuff. And he can make the phone ring three times before you get out of bed. Have you ever noticed how psychics operate, mediums? Valerie and I were someplace last week and there was a tent for a medium. You know, please, save your money. They don't have a clue. And they always deal in vague generalities. That's what false prophets do. We're going to talk about prophets and prophecies. That's what false prophets do. They give you vague generalities. You're going to meet a tall stranger. Oh, duh, really? Okay. That's 50% of the people. You know, and I remember there's this one guy, I'm going to say it, because some of y'all know who he is. I won't mention his name. Calls himself a master prophet. And I heard his show one time on cable. And he says, have you had some issues with your health? The lady said, no. Well, have you had issues with your kids? No. Have you had a problem with money? No. I mean, the guy's asking all these questions. And see, a prophet of God doesn't do that. He doesn't have to play 20 questions with you. He'll come up to you, tell you a story, and say, here's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he doesn't deal in vague generalities. He's very specific. Very, very specific. Amen. Remember Jesus at the well? John chapter 3. He tells this woman, he says, you know, why don't you ask me and I'll give you something to drink. She said, what do you mean? You ain't got nothing to dip with? The well is deep. Are you greater than our Father who built this well? He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of me and I would give you living water. And she said, where are you going to get this living water from? And so he finally said to her, he said, you know, go call your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. And he said, you said that right. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. And she looked at him. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. You know. Then she ran to the town. She said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Well, Jesus didn't ask her 20 questions. You know. But he revealed by the Holy Spirit exactly where she was. And that opened up her mind and her heart to receive because she knew it had to be God. Are you with me? There was a time when Jesus was calling his disciples, and one of them, Nathanael, was sitting under a fig tree, and his brother says, "Man, come see a man. He's the Messiah, blah, blah, blah." And Nathanael said, "Where's he from?" He said, "He's from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "You got to be kidding me. Ain't nothing good coming out of Nazareth." He said, "But all right, I'll follow you." So as they come the next day and get close to Jesus, Jesus turns around and looks at Nathanael. He said, "Oh, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael's like, "Do you know me?" He said, "When you were sitting under that tree yesterday, I saw you. Not only did I see you, I heard you." And Nathanael's like, "My Lord and my God," you know? And Jesus said to this guy, "You're amazed because I told you I saw you under the fig tree yesterday? Oh, you're going to see some better stuff than this." Well, the Holy Spirit revealed to Jesus the nature of Nathanael and what he had said. He actually saw him and heard that conversation under the tree. How did he do that? By the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God knew exactly what Nathanael said and revealed it to Jesus. Now, I know some of you may not believe this, but I'm telling you, as a pastor, there are times the Holy Ghost speaks to me about you. I know things that I could know no other way but by the Spirit of God. I've had people come into my office and tell me these things and say, "Well, Pastor, blah, 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 blah." And I'm looking at them and they expect me to get, you know, twisted, bent out of shape. I don't. I'm calm and cool. And they said, "Well, you kind of knew this, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I knew 3 months ago." How did I know? The Holy Ghost spoke to me. I didn't say anything. In fact, if you want to know the truth, that's how I became the pastor of this church. Some of y'all remember the story, but some of you don't know it. But at the time, in 2003, Reverend Aubrey Favors was the pastor of the church. The church was meeting down on East 10th Street. The congregation was small, and Reverend Favors was thinking about closing it down. And so he called me up. He said, "Pastor Bill," he said, "the Lord wants you to take this church." I'm like, "No way, man. No, you started this thing. You can do this thing. I'll help you. I'll pray with you. I'll support you. I'll give you a resource." I got him all pumped up, you know? And so when I started praying for Pastor Favors, the word of the Lord came to me and said, "He's going to call you back and ask you to take that church, and I want you to do it." I said, "Okay." So you know what I did? I stayed away from him for 8 months. Never said a word about what the Lord said to me. I just stayed away from him. I visited the church, Charles, one time. Brought a fellow from Missouri there with me. We visited, never said a word about what the Lord said to me. And during that time, I'm in a supportive role with Reverend Carr. I started training another man to take over my responsibilities because I knew I was leaving. Are you with me? I knew the Lord told me, "I want you to do it." So my assignment had changed. And so I started training now District Overseer, Northern District Overseer John Thomas, to take my position. And I was standing in front of John's house one day. And there are times the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And there were several people in that church who could have taken over and become the pastor of that church. And I said to John, I said, "John, I said, you know who the next pastor of Mount Zion is?" And he looked at me. He said, "No." I said, "It's you, not me, it's you." He said, "Are you prophesying to me?" I said, "I'm just telling you what the Lord says. It's you." Now, why did he say that? So that he would get ready and be prepared. And he was. 8 months later, Reverend Favors called me back and said, "Bill, you remember that conversation we had 8 months ago?" I said, "Yep." He said, "The Lord told me you're supposed to take this church." I said, "Yep." So that was it. Why? Because I knew. I didn't have to spend all month straining and praying and wondering. I knew. And see, some of y'all waste a lot of time. You get on that carousel, that merry-go-round, and you do all these things trying to find out the will of God, and the Holy Ghost is right there with his hand out, waiting to lead you. But you must be willing to follow. So listen, if the Spirit of God lives in us, then he's going to lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen? And so stop this silly stuff of, "Well, if I go for this job interview and they call me back for another interview, then I know it's the will of God for me to have that job." No, if you go for the job interview and they say, "I'm sorry, we're not hiring," you keep believing God. Amen. Just because the door shut doesn't mean you can't get through it. You have to be persistent. All right? You have to be persistent. And stop looking for leadership and guidance out here in the realm of the flesh. You're not in the flesh. The Spirit of God lives in you. And we need to grow up and become more spirit conscious than we are conscious of our bodies. That's why some of y'all get in trouble. Your body's talking to you long and loud, and that's the only voice you listen to. There are times you need to tell your body, shut up. You do. You need to tell your body, shut your mouth. I'm not listening to you. In fact, we're not eating today. In fact, we're not watching we're not watching MTV today. And your body will yell at you, scream at you, what are you doing? I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. You got to get control of that thing. Amen. If you don't control your flesh will control you. And that's not the way for a Christian to live. Holy Spirit lives in us. He leads us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so next week we'll continue in this series, and we're going to share the dual workings of the Holy Spirit. He makes His home in you to build your character, and He rests upon you to enable you to serve. But we have to understand how He works. Now, I'll tell you one last story, and then I'll close with this. I was sharing this. Valerie and I were at a picnic the other day with the guys in my pastor's group, and I love them all. It's a wonderful group of men. And we started sharing some things. And I shared about how, you know, I first came to Jesus when I was 12 years old at the Billy Graham Crusade. And I knew I'd never made Him the Lord of my life, and so I did that. Because I knew on the inside I needed to do that if I wanted to know God. But then my mother messed me up, took me to a Catherine Kuhlman service. And she was an odd woman, but the power of God was present. And we're going to look at the scriptures about these things. And I remember walking into the First Presbyterian Church downtown in Pittsburgh, right across the street from Gimbel's. And it was like you walked into a wall of love. It was incredible. Never felt anything like that in my life up to that point. I didn't know what it was. It was a heavy presence. And we just sat there and cried. That's all. We didn't know what it was. And I left that service, had no idea what that was. For 9 years, I didn't know what that was. Until I grew a little bit, went to another meeting. That same Spirit of God was there. And I said, whoa, now I know what that was when I was 12 years old. It was the presence of God. But some people live and die and never experience His presence. Well, we can experience His presence often. Amen? You're going to experience His presence every day. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. I pray this morning for Your people, that we would have a fresh understanding of the Holy Spirit